Welcome to Compass with Heladi Michelia, finding direction for your life.
Greetings of grace and peace. This is Heladi Michelia, and we want to bless the name of the Lord for the opportunity that we have to bring the Word of God. The Bible says that the entrance of the Word of God gives light and gives understanding to people who are simple. You cannot be sophisticated to receive the Word. When people make their life difficult to access, especially when they make it difficult for God to access, the Word of God cannot come there. The Bible says that the Word of God is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. So you need the Word of God to make progress. So the Bible says the entrance gives light. If you make your life too difficult, the Bible says that today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. God wants to enter into your heart. He wants to enter into your life. He wants to find a place in your life. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to move with you, live with you. He wants to be your daily companion. And you can make yourself available, or you can make yourself unavailable. Many men have made themselves unavailable for God. But you can make yourself available for Him. It is when you are available for Him that you see His power. It is when you are available for Him that you see Him move in your life and in your destiny. And it's an honor for me to bring the Word of God today. We are continuing in our study of 40 days of impact. 40 days of impact, or I call it living the life of purpose. I believe with the whole of my heart that the desire of God is for us to live purposefully. That to live purposefully simply means to live for something, and not just anything. When we say to live for something, I mean people are living for something. Everybody is living for something. But I'm talking about living for something that God wants you to live for. Living for something that God has sent you to live for, that thing. That's what it means to live a life of purpose. What has God called you to do? That is the only way you can make impact. You know, a lot of people are living for money. They go to school, they target the right course, the right, in quote, you know, a course that the pay is good, generally speaking. You know, they go to, they leave school, they're looking for the right job. When you hear people say, I'm looking for the right job, simply means the job that is paying, you know, and so on and so forth. So they're living their life for money. No, not living their life for purpose. You know, I watched a documentary earlier in the day of a woman who lives in the hottest part of the world, somewhere in Ethiopia. It's 60 degrees Celsius in that place. She's a medical doctor by profession. She has gone to that part of the world, you know, that part of the world, they are at war. But she's living there. She got married to a local there. She is giving her services almost free of charge to the people who are there. She has lived there for many years. She has a 16-year-old daughter, you know. So that tells you that she has lived there for many years. She eats what they eat. But she is making, people are flying in from Australia, from UK to come and see her, to come and see what she's doing in that part of the world. That is living a life of purpose. That's not money. Money cannot make you live that kind of life. She lives among the local people. There's no infrastructure. There's nothing. There's not even clean drinking water. And yet she lives amongst them. That's where she lives. That's what she does. She's living amongst them. So I want to say that, you know, if you want to live a life of purpose, you want to discover what God has called you to do, then you want to know how you are supposed to do that thing that God has called you to do, and you are going to commit your life to pursuing it. That is how to live a life of purpose. So we are doing 40 days of purpose, and today I am speaking on, a place to belong. That's the topic, a place to belong. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19, you are members of God's very own family. That's Living Bible. Citizens of God's country. And you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You are called to belong, not just believe. Some people just think they are just called to believe. and not belong. That is not a very correct interpretation of the Bible. Even in the perfect, sinless environment of Eden, God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I used to tell people that when the Bible says that two are better than one, it's not just about marriage. People, when they speak that, they just talk about marriage. But it's actually, you see, when you start a business, you start it as a sole proprietorship. And most businesses begin as a sole proprietorship. Then as you grow your business, you'll discover that you come to a point where your business can no more just be you. Even if you are the owner, you are the chairman and everything, you'll discover that you need some major people, major players. Sometimes you need a manager, an ace manager, somebody who has been tested, and you bring him in. While he may be a manager, but he has a portion. Sometimes you have to give him, you know, a share of the company as a way of paying him, because you cannot be able to pay him just in cash, or he may not want to accept just cash. Sometimes you see people start some kind of organizations, like if you have a law firm, or you have an accounting firm, or you have an architectural firm, you have to bring in other people who are good and how to move. So the Bible says two are better than one, for they have a greater reward for their labor. So I said the purpose for being two or more is to have greater reward. It's for the greater reward. That there is a greater reward that comes to your life than when you are just standing all by yourself. We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and formed for a family. And none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. The Bible knows nothing of solitary saints or spiritual hermits, which is the lesson number 18 in the study. And lesson number 18 says, experiencing life together. Experiencing life together. I hope you have been following this teaching. The only way to enjoy this teaching is to follow the whole, the whole study. And there's a book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I would encourage you to have it. It's a good book. It's a foundational book as you walk with the Lord. There are some things that are foundational. It's a foundational book. It's simple to read, but the truths in this book is profound. And we are giving this book free of charge to anybody who will call our number, and which is announced at the end of this study. If you call that number, we are going to give you a copy of this book free of charge, so that you can study along with us, and most importantly make your own personal studies. It's going to help you. It's going to help your walk with the Lord. So, experiencing life together. Each one of us is part of the body of Christ, and you were chosen to live together in peace. That's Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, the contemporary English version. Life is meant to be shared. God intends for us to experience life together. The Bible calls this shared experience fellowship. Today, however, the word has lost most of its biblical meaning. Fellowship now usually refers to casual conversation, socializing, food, and fun. You know, especially after the COVID, when now, or like I said, during the COVID, because it's not yet over, where people have to isolate and all of that, the word fellowship is actually beginning to have a very challenging atmosphere. The question, what do fellowship means? Where do you attend church? Stay after for fellowship usually means wait for the refreshment or something like that. Real fellowship is so much more than just showing up at services. It is experiencing life together. It includes unselfish, loving, honest sharing, practical serving, sacrificial giving, sympathetic comforting, and all the other one another commands found in the New Testament. When it comes to fellowship, size matters. Smaller is better. You can worship with a crowd, but you can't fellowship with a crowd. Once a group becomes larger than a certain number, someone stops participating. Usually, the quietest person will not get involved, and a few people will dominate the group. Jesus ministered in the context of a small group of disciples. He could have chosen more, but he knew 12 is about the maximum you can have in a small group if everyone is to participate. The body of Christ, like your own body, is really a collection of many small cells. The life of the body of Christ, like your body, is contained in the cells. For this reason, every Christian needs to be involved in a small group.
Where I pastor, we have what we call, we have small groups, and they are spread all over the nation, all over the city. You know, we have more than 20, about 23 small groups all over the city. And one of the, it is a cardinal part of our lives. Because we want people to have genuine relationships. We want people to have true fellowship. We want people to be really encouraged to minister to one another. And therefore, we intentionally, in fact, if you do not belong to a small group, it is difficult to be a very vibrant member of the church. And this is very important and very, very critical. You know, in real fellowship, people experience authenticity. Authentic fellowship is not superficial. Surface level chit-chat. It is genuine, heart-to-heart, sometimes gut-level sharing. It happens when people get honest about who they are and what is happening in their lives. They share their hurts, reveal their feelings, confess their failures, disclose their doubts, admit their fears, acknowledge their weaknesses, and ask for help and prayer. This is difficult in a large church. This is difficult in any large thing at all, but it can be done in a small group. You know, it can be done in a small group. In real fellowship, people experience mutuality. Mutuality is the art of giving and receiving. It's depending on each other. The Bible says the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part depends on every other. Mutuality is the heart of fellowship, is giving and receiving. In real fellowship, people experience sympathy. Sympathy is not giving advice or offering quick cosmetic help. Sympathy is entering in and sharing in the pain of others. It is the showing of compassion. You know, we live in a world where people are suffering. People are going through difficult times. And we need men and women who will share fellowship. In real fellowship, people experience mercy. Fellowship is a place of grace where mistakes are not rubbed in but rubbed out. Fellowship happens when mercy wins over justice. We all need mercy because we all stumble and fall and require help getting back on track. We need to offer mercy to each other and be willing to receive it from each other. Our time is up on this study for today, and I need to stop on this study for today. But it's great getting to share the word of God with you, you know. And one of the things I want to encourage you as you enter into this year is to build your life around fellowship. Have people that you meet with constantly. Have people that you fellowship with consistently. It will bless your life. It will help you. It will transform you. It will uplift you. Amen and amen. We bless the name of the Lord. Please call our lines that are going to be announced at the end of this broadcast and request for your one free copy of the Purpose Driven Life book. God bless you.
I am sure you have been blessed by today's episode of Compass. Let's continue the interaction on our social media platforms at Hella E. Michelia on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, keep moving in the direction of your destiny.